This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Two blasts occur at Russian air bases as Moscow launches missiles at Ukrainian cities. And why the U.S. is modifying rocket launchers it sends to Ukraine.
The U.S. is particularly concerned about escalation with Russia. They have said publicly and they say privately that they are supporting Ukraine, but they don't want to support Ukraine to the point where a weapon or certain kinds of operations would be escalatory or be seen as escalatory by Moscow.
U.S. stocks fall in anticipation of the next moves from the Federal Reserve. Plus, why for some fashionistas, Uggs are back in style. It's Monday, December 5th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Russia's defense ministry says Ukrainian drones hit two of its air bases today, killing three servicemen and injuring several others. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the explosions. Ukraine has not formally acknowledged past strikes inside Russia's borders. There is no evidence that weaponry provided by the U.S. was used in the strikes. Meanwhile, we report separately that the Pentagon has modified rocket launchers known as HIMARS that it has supplied to Ukraine so that the launchers can't be used to fire long-range missiles into Russia. We'll have more on that story and its potential implications on the battlefield in just a few minutes. U.S. stocks fell today after the latest data on activity in the service sector and factory output suggested economic resiliency. That's on top of a stronger-than-expected jobs report on Friday that has investors concerned the Federal Reserve could continue raising rates in the new year as the central bank tries to slow economic growth and tamp down inflation. The Fed is expected to raise rates by a half percentage point at its final meeting of the year next week. U.S. stocks erased most of last week's gains today. The Dow fell 1.4%, the S&P 500 lost 1.8%, and the Nasdaq dropped 1.9%. Car rental company Hertz has agreed to pay $168 million to settle hundreds of claims related to its reporting of stolen vehicles. In some cases, that reporting allegedly led to wrongful arrests of some of its customers. For years, Hertz has faced allegations that inventory mismanagement led it to falsely report some of the cars in its fleet as stolen. The settlement will now resolve more than 95% of outstanding claims against the company, according to Hertz. The company previously said the allegations were an old problem and contained to the company that collapsed in 2020. But a lawsuit filed in the fall alleged that the issue persisted even after Hertz emerged from bankruptcy. In North Carolina, authorities say residents of Moore County could be without power for several days after what they called an intentional act of vandalism on local substations. Two substations were disabled by gunfire on Saturday. Authorities have not identified any suspects or a motive for the attacks. As of this afternoon, Duke Energy reported some 33,000 customers without electricity and said most likely won't have power back until Thursday. The Supreme Court heard arguments today on a case pitting gay rights against free speech. The case involves a Colorado website designer who sought a federal court order to allow her to refuse business from gay couples looking to set up wedding websites. Colorado does not allow businesses to discriminate against LGBT customers for religious or free speech reasons. The plaintiff is an evangelical Christian and views her work as an artistic expression of her own beliefs. Our justice and judiciary editor, James Graff, lays out the stakes as both parties see it.
Lori Smith, the woman who's brought this case, believes that Colorado's law, anti-discrimination law, forces her to make speech that she disagrees with fundamentally. That is, she does not accept the idea that marriage should happen between anyone but people of the opposite sex. And she considers the law forcing her to make speech that accepts the idea of same-sex marriage. So that's what she sees at stake. What's at stake for the state is if she considers her speech exempt from anti-discrimination laws, what would stop someone from making a distinction, for instance, that they will not serve people of a certain race or of a certain sex or of other protected classes? So it's the distinction there between this idea of free speech and this idea of equal protection under the law that are really at loggerheads in this case.
A decision in the case is expected before July. The hearing comes as the House nears a vote to send a bill protecting same-sex marriage to President Biden. Coming up, the U.S. is altering rocket launchers it's sending to Ukraine, what that means in terms of strategy and on the battlefield.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Since June, the U.S. has supplied Ukrainian forces with 20 rocket launchers known as HIMARS, advanced high-precision rocket systems that have aided Ukraine in the battle against Russia. We now report exclusively that the U.S. has secretly modified those launchers to keep them from being used by Ukraine to fire long-range missiles into Russia. For more on this, I am joined now by national security reporter Gordon Lubold. Hi, Gordon. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us first what you've learned about how these rocket launchers have been altered.
Right. So these are rocket launchers that go in the back of a truck or some kind of other vehicle. Ukrainians have been given about 20 of these HIMARS systems, and they can fire different kinds of missiles. Currently, the U.S. provides what are called GMLRS, otherwise known as guided multiple launch rocket systems. These are the missiles that are used on the HIMARS that shoot between 10 and 50 miles range. What we learned was that the U.S. had done software and hardware modifications to the HIMARS systems, to the launcher, to prevent it from shooting anything beyond the GMLRS that they're being provided with, according to U.S. officials. And so, again, like the software and hardware modifications just make sure that those 20 HIMARS that they have currently can't shoot a missile further, deeper into Russia.
So, Gordon, what can this tell us about broader U.S. foreign policy as it relates to Russia and Ukraine? What can we glean from these secret modifications?
Sure. So we already know that the U.S. is particularly concerned about escalation with Russia. They have said publicly and they say privately that they are supporting Ukraine, but they don't want to support Ukraine to the point of where a weapon or certain kinds of operations would be escalatory or be seen as escalatory by Moscow. And so we're entering kind of a different phase as the snow begins to fly. And some senior military officials have suggested that there could be some kind of a stalemate or entering into a stalemate period. This is when I think the Ukrainians and other backers of Ukraine would like to see them be able to take the fight beyond where they've been able to take it thus far with more advanced weaponry. I think the subtext of all this is that although the U.S. hasn't said a lot of this publicly, the Western allies, Europeans in particular, and the U.S. are starting to nose around for how does this end? Where does this conflict go? And are there certain parts of Ukraine that the Russians took over years ago in 2014 that might be the subject of some kind of peace negotiations? Nobody's there just yet, but providing extra weaponry that would undercut any such effort is not seen as a valuable proposition.
Gordon, we also learned today that explosions hit two Russian air bases. Now, we do not have evidence that weaponry provided by the U.S. was used in those strikes, but can you sort of put this in context for us, given that backdrop?
Sure. I mean, there have been a number of kind of mysterious explosions and other incidents inside Russia that have not been always fully explained that always, I think, concern the U.S. because it would appear that some of these things are done at the hands of the Ukrainians. Ukraine has provided a number of assurances, formally and informally, that the weapons that they are being provided by the U.S. and others won't be used to target Russians inside Russia. But these explosions, these kinds of incidents like we saw today, do kind of reinforce the view of, I think, the Biden administration, which is we want to make sure that we're not giving them weapons that they will use against Russia.
How has all of this impacted the kinds of weapons the U.S. is sending to Ukraine, and which weapons is it not providing?
We've seen an evolution since the invasion February 24th inside Ukraine by Russian forces of weapons being provided, and then the U.S. will say, we're not going to provide more of a certain kind of weapon, and then only sometimes to provide them. We saw that early on. The U.S. never expected this conflict to last as long as it has. There are still weapons that the Ukrainians would like. We have reported numerous times, as others have, that advanced drones, armed drones, are among the list of things that the Ukrainians would like to see. The ATACMS are the longer range missiles that would go in the HIMARS that can shoot up to 190 or 200 miles, which the U.S. has also not yet provided. And there's no indication yet that they're going to do any of that. There's other air defense systems that Ukrainians would like. Some of these are in short supply within the U.S. arsenal, and some of them are either seen by the U.S. as escalatory, or there's always the concern of export controls, which is to say a weapon system that if stolen from the battlefield, if, say, the Russians or somebody else were to take a downed drone and then capture the technology or the camera in particular that's on board that drone, then it could be used for nefarious purposes. And so there's certainly a number of other things that Ukrainians would like to see, but that the U.S. has not yet agreed to give them.
That's Wall Street Journal national security reporter Gordon Lubold. Gordon, thanks so much.
I was happy to be here. Thanks.
And finally, UGG boots were pretty popular in the early aughts. The cozy sheepskin-lined footwear made Oprah's famous favorite things list, and celebrities like Paris Hilton and Beyoncé were spotted wearing them. But like other trends, they eventually fell out of fashion with some tastemakers. But now, the latest take on their classic boot, called the Ultra Mini Platform, is being elevated by a new generation of influencers. Unlike its calf-hugging predecessors, this iteration rests on the ankle and has a raised platform. 35-year-old Brittany Slater from Westland, Michigan, says when she saw a picture of model Bella Hadid wearing them, she had to have them.
I was just scrolling and I saw it on TikTok, so it made me want to click and figure out where these boots were because I immediately was attracted to them. I was just like, you know what, those are cute. So I went right on the UGG website and just went searching for them.
Wall Street Journal styles reporter Javi Lieber says the $150 boots sold out quickly at retail stores and on the UGG's website. After that, shoppers desperate for the style had to pay double and triple the price on resale sites like StockX and eBay.
So a brand like UGG is basically taking a page out of luxury fashion's playbook. So it's based on supply and demand. So if the fact that a lot of shoppers, you know, moms, teenagers, kids, they all want this boot, but they can't get it because it was only exclusive to the UGG website or the UGG stores, that has driven up the demand and makes the shoe much more of like a hype item.
But if you put those boots on your holiday wish list, you may be disappointed. Nordstrom and other stores say they won't have the Ultra Mini platforms until next summer. And that's what's news for this Monday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.